chapter 3 and 1 verse 4. Chapter 3, Numbers chapter 3 and 1 verse 4. And that verse says, "And Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. And Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron, their father." May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. God bless you. Be seated. Strange fire. Somebody last Sunday after service sent a message. I think the person is from either Europe or US, and was cautioning me that they were following the service and that I cut short the message because of time. And he said, "Pastor," he said, "that is the most important aspect of the service. Stop cutting the word short." Hallelujah. And I replied him, I said, "It is noted." But listen, church. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, listen, and listen very well. And I'm sure that brother or sister who you are hearing now again, you're a member of Brother Assembly wherever you are. Listen. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. 1 Corinthians 14 says so. Listen. "And I am not preaching for preaching's sake. And I must be spiritual enough to know when the people are receiving and when they are not receiving." Amen. Last Sunday, because of the Thanksgiving and whatever it is, and the weather was too hot, and I could see that the people were tired. So, and I didn't want to speak over the head of the people. I wanted to think. That is why I cut it short. Amen. But it remained very small to finish. So I'll try to finish it today. So you they hear me now. You there for where? America, where are you there? Praise God. Amen. And what we spoke about, the topic, avoiding strange fire. Strange fire. And the two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, they were ordained to worship, to serve at the altar, offer sacrifices in the temple. They came and put fire on the censer as they used to do, as they are supposed to do. But as they offered that fire, it was a strange fire. And God cannot accept strange fire at the altar. And catch it, when I say strange fire being offered at the altar. Anytime we say altar, people go to this elevation here. As your mind goes here as the altar. But you and I know that this is a place dedicated for prayers. That's all. It's dedicated as a place to stand and preach the word. But you and I know that the true altar is where? Where is the altar? It's the heart. That is the place where sacrifices are offered. We are in the heart. Have that at the back of your mind so that you can understand what we're trying to bring up today. Fire is an attribute, like I spoke last Sunday. Recap. It's an attribute of God. For God is a consuming fire. It is also a weapon that God uses He uses fire to protect. He uses fire to destroy, to consume. He uses fire to judge. He uses fire to purify. He uses fire to also perfect. He uses fire to test, to try. Fire is an instrument in the hand of God. Elijah knew that enough to say, he's serving a God that answered by fire. Let him be the true God. And God answers by fire also. It is one of the ways he uses to answer. And when it comes to fire, I also say, fire is also used by God in catching his prey. Instruments that he desires to use, God uses fire in the same way that hunters use bush fire to drive out hidden rats, rats that are hiding, grass cutters that are hiding, animals they go out to hunt. They are hiding, you don't know where they are. If you want them to come out, you set that bush on fire, every grass cutter will come out. If you enter a hole, they know how to put fire inside that hole. You go hide, 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 hide. You go see the hunter the way because he will jump out. Hallelujah. You saw how he used fire now to bring out that sister. Eh? It was fire. It was a spiritual fire. Eh? If you are hiding, like I said, for those who are not here last week, God intends to use you. Continue to hide. Okay? He wants you to serve him. They hide, hide. Continue to hide wherever you are. I don't want to. God wants to use you. The day he decided it is time for you to come out, he will use fire. And you will come out. John the Baptist said, Jesus is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And what? And fire. Amen. Hallelujah. And you have to catch that. Because that is what happened to Peter. Peter was a different person after that fire came upon him on the day of Pentecost. Praise the Lord. He uses fire to bring out the gift in you. It will burst out. I said also there are two types of fires in the temple. The fire that is lit on a censer and the fire that is put on burnt offering. And the important thing about it all is that the emphasis there is that this fire produces smoke. That smoke, the smoke is the evidence that there is a fire. The smoke is a product of the fire also. And the smoke, as you offer a burnt sacrifice, you are offering it to God, the fire is burning that animal and the smoke is reaching out to God. The censer has, you know, perfumes, something that gives out sweet odor on the censer. When you put that fire, that smoke carries that fragrance up to God. And they were all physical things speaking of something spiritual. And it is a type of the sacrifices we make. Every sacrifice that you make, what it does in the spirit is, you know, it is received in heaven. It is notified. It notifies heaven by a smoke. The product of your sacrifice, it carries something that attracts heaven. We bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of our God. The sacrifice, praise is a sacrifice. When you offer the sacrifice, the Bible says it produces a sweet smelling savour before the Lord. The praises and the prayers of the saints reach out. It's in the book of Revelation to God. in a form of a fragrance that the smoke in that censer also produces. And it becomes acceptable unto the Lord. I want you to catch that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But God also has given directive. He has his directive on how and who and when that fire is to be produced. Is how that censer will be lit. And, hallelujah, any fire that is lit, that is produced, any smoke that is produced, not from the fire from God, God will not accept it. Yes, why is it strange? The fire was strange. They call it strange fire. They were ordained to be offering fire, smoke, incense in the temple, but they offered a strange fire. That is, it was not done according to the way God had ordained it to be. What made the fire strange? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We saw, as we read in Leviticus chapter 10, that you read it from verse 1. From there we catch a revelation. Read it up to verse 10. We catch that revelation. Why it was strange is that they went into that temple drunk. They went into that temple drunk. And a priest of God, the high priest, we are a royal priesthood too. The priest of God was to keep himself away from strong drink. It is a law for all priests. But these two priests went and got themselves drunk. In the estate of that drunkenness, they went to lit a fire on the censer, and God called that fire a strange fire, and got so angry and killed the two of them. You see, when you are reading stories like this, it looks like history. But church, no story in the Bible is ordinary history. Every story in the Bible is a lesson for you and for me. He is the Lord. He changeth not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he hates yesterday, he still hates it today. That's the mistake most Christians make. You take the grace of God for granted. Church, grace, amen. Are you in grace? How many people are in grace here? Grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is unmerited favor. That is, you didn't work for it. You did not work for it. But church, listen. You must understand grace. There is grace and there is disgrace. Eh? Apostle Paul spoke about people who turned the grace of God unto lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is a state of drunkenness, acting anyhow. There is grace and there is disgrace. You can receive grace. After you have received grace, you will add D-I-S to it. And turn that grace to disgrace. Marriage is instituted. We learn grace from the institution of marriage. The woman did not go looking for the man she married. I'm talking of woman that married better husband. And I'm talking of a proper marriage. Not the one that the woman chased the man. You understand? Then after you chase him, finish. Then he agree. Then the woman will give you money to go and pay for house. Then the woman will give you money to go and pay dowry. Then the woman will give you money for the reception, the wedding. That's not the kind of marriage I'm talking about. You can't see Christ in that arrangement. You can't. There's nothing. You can't see Christ in that arrangement. Did you understand? Hallelujah. I'm talking about a poor woman. A woman, maybe you are from such a poor background. Very, very poor background. And you were looking up to one village domestic farmer that you just marry in the village, because even school you don't go. So you don't expect person who finish primary school to even come and marry you. So you had already concluded where you belong. Then suddenly, a prince comes and takes interest in you and marries you and changes your identity and gives you identity. Now, that is what I am talking about. That is the meaning of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I love him because he first loved me. I purchased my salvation on Calvary. It says, such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. A righteous sinner! How wonderful is love like me. Hey, your condition, that is it. A peace. And we are married to the prince. The prince. He is the prince of peace. The son of a king. Hallelujah. The marriage of the bride of Jesus Christ. Wretched sinner condemned to death, but came down from his glory. Suffered all the shame just to get a wretched person like me. Transformed my identity. And is taking me to the palace very soon. Now that is grace. Now, where I am going is, that kind of wife, how will you relate to that man? Your relationship with that man will be guided by your understanding of grace. I owe who I am to him. He made me who I am. But there are some women, after they sit down there and finish, they begin to trouble that man. Turn that grace to disgrace. See, I know a woman that is married to a controller of custom, senior controller of custom. Everything that woman needs is given in abundance. But the man does not allow visitors to come to his house because his wife will disgrace him the way she will receive them. A big man like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that is the truth. They have turned it. And that is the same thing that we are doing today. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want us to know that what I am talking about is applicable now. Therefore, I am talking to you, hearing me now. Because anytime I'm preaching like this, some people, their mind go, they go somewhere, and hey, suddenly here. Tell them. Tell them. Tell them. You stand, Abby. A man that ticketed his stand. Take heed, lest he fall. Hallelujah. God hates strange fire. Amen. And I say, what made their fire strange was because they went there drunk. And God hates it. That means the attitude that goes in the service of God. God does not only hate it. God can even kill you in response. The attitude you put in serving God, that is the fire. And that fire, the attitude, must be according to the expectations of God. If not, it will be rejected. And I say it, for that, he killed Nadab. He killed Abihu. And it will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Why I say so is because today is communion service. And Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, the way we come for communion service, he said, this is not how we should come. And he began to state how people come for communion service. You come, people, you know, have malice with one another. There are people you are not talking with. There are people that you are not talking with. You are not in talking terms. And they are church members. And then you go and carry communion. Communion service that is saying communion is we declaring. You and I, we are members of one body of Christ. How can you be one members of one body and then you are not functioning together? You don't greet one another. You hate one another until you can't even talk to one another. And then, in that estate, you are coming to the communion service. You see? People, we are coming to show off. People, we are coming as opportunity to drink wine. Then they go drink, so they will be drunk. And a communion, and Apostle Paul, they were coming with all manner of carnal dispositions. And Apostle Paul said, that is not how it should be done. And he said, when you come before the Lord's table, he said, let a man, let a woman do what? Examine yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says so. Read it from verse 24 down. He said, let a man examine himself, examine herself, and so let him, or let her, eat of that bread and drink of that wine. For he that eateth or drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And he added, and for this cause many sleep, they die. He said, many are weak, many are sickly. Many here, many children of God are weak, are sickly, and many die, they sleep. For coming to the communion table anyhow, you can die. When we say nobody will die cockroach dead, yes, nobody will die cockroach dead. But if not God kill you, not be cockroach dead. You die because you committed. And Ananias and Sapphira's came before before the apostles, before the congregation. And what they agreed to do, she and her husband, in Acts chapter 5, read the story there, came and stood and lied. They agreed, like they wanted to do like others do. They wanted to do like others do. And everybody, fire, revival fire, brotherly love was going on. So that everybody will not lack. Nobody will lack. You know, because there are people sitting down, their parents have rejected them, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, anybody, they have rejected them. Now the church had to take care of them. So those who have possession, they sold. Anything you have, you can contribute. And Ananias and Sapphira told Peter, they said, make I go, we get one land. Therefore, like go sell out. And there will be a lot of money there. But after they sold it, they discovered that the money plenty. The money plenty. But they told Peter that they will bring everything. Peter blessed them. And then that anointing, they went, they go buy her. But the man and the wife had the meeting. Listen too much. There are people here that do business. When it's time to pay the tithe, they begin to say, this tithe plenty. May I go carry 1 million couple for tithe? This tithe too much. Too much. God, you understand. If I add this to capital, then the thing go. You go add them to capital, and then come and meet pastor. Pastor, not like this is not in the work. And I paid my tithe. Last time, how much did you pay? And Ananias and Sapphira came. Eh? Ananias first came and took his oath. And as he was saying it, it was not Peter that killed her, killed him. Oh. It was the Holy Ghost that told Peter. Obadechi, when did you pay tithe last? Eh? No, you're a big businessman.
I pay always.
I mean, you wear designer clothes. So, make sure you declare correct tithe. Amen. Hallelujah. And he came. Peter, as Ananias was giving testimony. Church, because there are some, Jesus Christ said, if you want to give, he said, give secretly. But there are two types of giving. There is the one you give secretly to somebody who is in need around you. But there is the one that we can agree to make a collection. That is why I can say here, if you have 100,000 naira and above, stand up to contribute for us to raise a certain amount. It's true. There are some people that will stand up and come, and they will not fulfill it. Amen. There are some that will not come. They say, I like to give secretly. Well, whether you give secretly or openly, I'm saying the open one is not sin. Amen. There's one contribution that we are supposed to announce today, self. That make me remember, self. Eh? To a lot of people have increased in our telecast all over the world. So the bandwidth we have, the bandwidth that I announced last week, the brother that came, what he was offering is what we already have. It was for hosting. It was not for broadcast. He was offering us unlimited bandwidth for hosting of the site. But we have our own server. We have gone beyond, far, far beyond what he was offering. We have our server room here that wherever in the world you want to get in touch with us here, our materials, our site, we have our dedicated server here, 24 hours. So we went beyond that. But what we are actually looking for now is we need to expand our broadcast because of so many people all over the world, it is now, you know, too small. So it jams. We need to expand it and to get double what we have now. To have double what we have now, we met the people concerned for the company giving us the bandwidth. We need about 1 million naira every month to pay for it. 1 million naira every month. Hallelujah. And God killed them. God was so angry that they can stand at the pulpit with a strange fire. It is likened to strange fire. Sacrifice, yes, but it was strange. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Listen, church, today, the zeal or determination we put following every service or sacrifice is the fire on that sacrifice, sending a smoke to heaven to be accepted or rejected by God. Strange zeal is strange fire. Strange determination. Determination can be a strange determination. Strange fire. We see, remember, you are here offering your sacrifice. You can decide to go into any form of service for the Lord. God says, we see in the outward part, but He, God, sees what we cannot see. He sees inwardly. So it means God does not judge us by what we are doing. You wake up every morning, you are in the street preaching. It is not our action that God sees and accepts that sacrifice. It is not the sacrifice God is seeing. It is the fire on that sacrifice that God is looking at. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You come to a bride assembly and you are anxious to join the ministerial group so that the church will know you as a minister. Yes, we are happy that we are having more ministers. While we are happy seeing you every time around and the whole church trying to see you, God is looking at the motive for that action. God is looking at the motive for that action. It's true. There is a minister that used to be here. He's no more here. He was a prophet. Anytime he sends His name, that He has a message, and I don't call Him, He will be angry throughout that day. And I didn't know until my attention was called to it, and I observed it. And so, He sent a message one time, and I said, did you see the person's face? He said, yes. You know where the person is sitting down? He said, yes. Go and call the person outside and give him the message. Hallelujah. He said, okay. He left. I found out later that he didn't call the person. Amen. Then I had to call the minister. I said, from now on, I'm not going to give you microphone again. You have a different motive for wanting to collect microphone to stand before the church. Another minister, he's no more here now. Another prophet. He collected a microphone one day and said, there is somebody here. He called the name. The person refused to stand up. He called something again. The person refused to say, okay. I said, maybe the person is not around or check again. He left. At a certain stage, I was sitting down. He came to me and said, sir, the person came and met him outside and said that whatever it is. I said, okay, give the person the message. He told the person to come inside. I said, go and call him now. You don't need microphone to give him. Give him outside. He did not give that message. The next service day, I was here. He called that name again. So person stand up. Yesterday, when I was calling so, I stopped him. I said, give another message. Give another message. And after service, I get mouth. I finished that guy. and swore to him that he will never give message again in this church. And the two of them are no more in this church. They had to leave. Praise the Lord. Why? Even me as a human being will react like that. How much more God? The motive behind it is strange fire. What is propelling you to collect microphone and give message is strange fire. There's a fire that is pushing you, but it is a strange fire. God can never accept it. The reason why, what makes that fire, hallelujah, strange, the source of that fire may be demonic. The fire that is pushing you to serve God, it is pushing you to serve God, not to serve a shrine, and yet the fire may be coming from Satan. How do I know? Church, demons also anoint people. There is familiar spirit. Mami water worshippers, they have prophets. Mami water worshippers, they have, see, with a blessed water here, people they receive healing, Abi. A police officer was telling me a few days ago that there is a Muslim man that has been raised up in Sokoto, that anybody that is sick, he said, now you yourself go bring the water out. He said he will place hand on that water and then make some invocation, say drink. He said, and all manner of sicknesses and diseases, they are going. So waiting be the fire where on they drink, the water where they drink for Ikotu. I mean the one where they drink here every Tuesday. Is that one anointed by the Holy Ghost? Is that one anointed by the Holy Ghost in Sokoto? Why are you afraid now? You're afraid then go come here. Praise the Lord. Listen, church. That means I said demons also anoint people. Demons anoint people to serve with the Bible. And yet the fire that is pushing you, hallelujah, may be demonic. And also, because we have it in Acts chapter 16, there was a damsel that was possessed with the spirit of divination. If you read Acts chapter 16, and they were following Apostle Paul for some days, for many days. The Bible says for many days. And every time they go, they will prophesy. That damsel will prophesy. These people, they are servants of the Most High God. Listen to them. You're going to follow them for their crusade. Anointing. He said they are the ones that are showing the way of salvation. He said, listen to them. They are showing the way of salvation. If Apostle Paul were a blind pastor, that sister will have been a gifted sister in his church. Prophesy. Prophesy. Hallelujah. Therefore, your prophecy may be correct, but the fire may be strange. That is why Apostle Paul, Peter said we should be diligent to make our calling and election sure. That is why, don't just sit down there and say, I know, I see. Church, there are celeb prophets where they see too. There are babalawos where they see too. Mami water, then they see too. Witches and wizards, then they see too. So it's not just enough that you see. Be sure of which spirit is making you to see. If not, whatever service you do, you are doing it by a strange anointing, a strange fire. God will not accept it. And it brings judgment. It brings judgment. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It brings judgment. I'm telling you, that is the truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The spirit of divination. There's a spirit of divination. Hallelujah. And there's also the Antichrist spirit. Spirit of divination. Hallelujah. Just comes and operates and you will think it is God. And also, we have Antichrist spirit. Amen. Listen, the spirit of divination will mislead you. Okay? But the spirit of divination cannot take you to hell. It will just make you to deceive you to live a miserable life on earth. But there is the Antichrist spirit. That spirit is supposed to lead you to perdition. That is the spirit that will lead you to hell. And that, the spirit of divination does not preach. But the Antichrist spirit preaches, interprets the Bible, preaches, but misinterprets the Bible, so that you will miss the way to heaven. And it is under a fire. Satan has his ministers, and he anoints them. Serpent was a minister of Satan, and it was Satan that inspired him to go and walk on that woman for a purpose. Satan, there are still serpents today, ministers of the devil, holding big churches, known and renowned, men of timber and caliber recognized worldwide, yet the anointing pushing them is Antichrist anointing. How do you know? They misinterpret the word of God. And the Bible says, if any man preaches any other thing contrary to what the apostles have preached, let that person be blessed, Abby. Let him be what? Let him be accursed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And let me just say this and hang this message again. Because it is, hallelujah. If you are going to serve God, why that sacrifice was rejected? Why he called it a strange fire? It must be according to the instruction of God. That is where we see the difference between Antichrist spirit, spirit of divination, and the rest. The spirit of divination, let me quickly add, so that you just catch this thing. Listen, hallelujah. The spirit of divination, we see the problem, but has no solution. So I want you to know that first. The spirit of divination. That's why God hates it. He warned us. He warned in the Old Testament, his children, not to go to familiar spirits. In fact, in Israel, if you have a familiar spirit, the punishment is death. They should not allow anybody that is possessed of a familiar spirit in the midst of the children of Israel. It is death. And so, how do they know? Two ways of knowing it. Number one, hallelujah, when he speaks, it must come to pass. Number two, when he says, thus said the Lord, it must come to pass. Number two is that when he speaks, hallelujah, if it is a problem he's seeing, there must be solution. Number three, when the solution is being given, it must not contradict the word. The message must not contradict the word. And in Israel, the high priest had in his breast, in his chest, something that God designed to confirm which spirit is speaking. Anybody that say, I have a message. Because there are familiar spirits. It is called the Urim and the Thummim. He will hang it on it. Hallelujah. There are stones, 12 precious stones, different colors, the color of rainbow, on the chest. And anytime you come to the high priest, I have a message. You have a message. God gave me a message to Israel. Aaron will say, wait. He will go inside. He will announce to the Jews, those around, come and stand by with your stones and your sticks, whatever you have, stand by. Somebody says, he has thus said the Lord. He will hang the Urim and Thummim on his chest. Then he will say, oh yeah, give your message. If it is from God, a light, the rainbow color will flash on that Urim and Thummim. If it is not from God, there will be nothing. So as you are narrating that you had something and you see, say, light no flash. Just know. repeat again. You repeat again and the thing no flash. A strange fire has come upon you. And Aaron will say, oh yeah, what did God say we should do? He will step aside. They will stone you to death. That's why I say grace. These days, there are prophets all over the church of Jesus Christ that will say, thus say the Lord to the church. And it will not come to pass. And we cannot stone them. Maybe from now on we should be coming to church with stones. Praise the Lord. We are in the days of grace. No stones. But let me tell you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has not changed. For that man to come before that people are standing with stones and the confirmation, and he speaks confidently, it means he actually received it. Because he knows that he will die. Amen. So it is not enough to say, I am sure of the spirit that talked to me. I am sure. You are sure, Abby, but it does not jive with the scripture. The Urim and Thummim, Old Testament, New Testament, on the chest. If it does not flash here, it is not from God. It is a strange fire. I just wanted to explain that as I close and with the scripture in 1 Kings chapter 12. In 1 Kings chapter 12. Amen. By the time we get to chapter 12, that is where the kingdom of Solomon was broken into two according to the prophecy that was given to Solomon. From the hand of Rehoboam. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jeroboam took over from Solomon. And now the kingdom was broken. And a man that was not in the lineage for kingship took over the larger part of Israel. 10 tribes by the name of Rehoboam. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is what took place in chapter 12. They are taking over, but then suddenly something entered his head, and that is where I am going. Praise the Lord. Anytime I read the story of Jeroboam, what comes to my mind is human beings, how we are. From nowhere, the carry kingdom give you, made you a king. From verse 25, see what entered his head. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went up from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, where did he say it? Take note of that. Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. That is, he began to think, this kingdom where I get, something will come upon this head of these Jews, and then they will return everything again back to the house of David, though, and send it back to Rehoboam. Verse 27. If these people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of these people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sea. For the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. See? Contrary to God's instruction. And Jeroboam ordained a feast. There is a feast that God ordained through Moses. But this one, and the king ordained it by himself now. In the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he himself as a king offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Chapter 3, 13, verse 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar as usual to burn incense. A king going to burn incense in the altar. And he cried. The young prophet came and cried against the altar. He entered the church and prophesied and said, oh altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee, upon this altar, shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee. And men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is a sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when the king Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar was also wrecked, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. The little thing I want you to catch there is the strange fire thing I am talking about. The motive. You see? So that people will not go somewhere. Do you know that so that people will not leave their church and come to Bride Assembly Vigil? Do you know that another church here has started vigil on Friday? On Friday, they line up their buses at the bus stop. The distance from the bus stop, their church is at the bus stop. Oh, to divert people to come so that their people will not have the chance to come. Anytime they know we have a program here, they will organize their own program the same day, so that people will not come. And then they will stand at the altar and then and cry for anointing. Fire will come down. That fire is not from God. It's a strange fire. It's a strange fire. Hallelujah. It's another Jeroboam. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So motive matters. So motive matters. Motive. Motive. Motive matters. Praise God. See, don't help God to run his church. Don't help God to run his church. I close on that. Don't help God. If God has placed you somewhere, he will keep you there. He will keep you there. He will. He will. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you ever feel threatened when you're occupying an office and another person is coming up. It happens even in prayer assembly. Even in prayer assembly. When another person is coming up, some other person who was there before, be afraid. They even send people to the mountain to pray for them. I jam a prayer request. God led me to see that prayer request. That somebody gave someone here about 2 years ago. I took it. I showed Chinedu. I showed you. I said, see what they gave some people prayer request to go and pray. To go and pray so that my position will not be taken. You see? I came here and preached a message. People didn't know why I was preaching. When I say that everybody, you do that, you don't understand the body of Christ. See, concerning God's call, if it is God that has called you, nobody can remove you from your position. Nothing like that. That's the reason why churches, they are one man show church. One man show. One man show church. One man. No other minister should be known in that church. Hallelujah. Why am I not afraid? 90% of you people sitting down here are Igbos. Why am I not afraid that one day you kick me out and put Mwoke, Thomas Mwoke, an Igbo man, to take over? No, somebody else will have been afraid. Hallelujah. Why? It's because I know it is God that placed me here. I am a servant of God. Do you catch what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have confidence because you are not sure of your calling. You're not sure of your calling. He gave some apostles, not apostle one, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, not one pastor, pastors, not one prophet, prophets. Praise God. Praise the Lord. How can the body of Christ, one body, many members, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, how can this hand is a member of this body? The leg is a member of this body. Why will the hand be afraid of leg? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I sat the ministers down one day and I was schooling them. I said, listen, do you know that you have the power to remove the pastor of the church? I told you that. And I told you how to remove me from office. That's the truth. Because no man is above the law. They can come together and remove me. If they find me wanting, according to the ministry, according to the scripture. Amen. And if I don't want to be removed, then I should stay scriptural. But if I stay scriptural and they do a coup against me, hallelujah, I will only change address because you cannot remove ministry from me. Ministry must continue. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. A minister called enter message believers for ministers meeting yesterday. That's why one pastor came here from Lafayette. And the man was telling him, why didn't you invite Pastor Mo? He said he didn't have my phone number. So he gave him my phone number. He called me on Friday in the morning. He said, Brother Moses, I didn't invite you. It's because I didn't have your number. I have this. And while he called me, he said, I said, who is that calling? He said, he's Apostle somebody. And that alone kept me on edge. Because the thing that is going on in the entire message now is arrogation of offices to themselves. That is a spirit that has invaded the entire message. And that spirit is a strange fire. You are a pastor. If you are an apostle, what are you doing in that church? Since more than 20 years now, you have been pastoring that church. What if you are an apostle? Where will you move from there to another place? Like Apostle Paul was moving from place to place. And what size of the apostle, an apostle do you have to occupy that office? And how many ministers have you produced in your ministry? And so because of it, I just hide myself under the burial I am going. But I quickly call Pastor Francis. I say, go there and see what they are doing there. Come and tell me. And the reason why, even if I had nowhere to go, why I will not go is because if he says an apostle, he is calling the ministers that are under him to come. So, if I go there, then it will be a plus to him. Even Pastor Moses Alu, he comes here to learn from me. So, you know, I can't go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, my brother went there. And one of the things they were discussing there, the great apostle was telling the pastors that gathered that tithes belong only to the pastor. Make a talk, brother Francis. I go talk. I go talk. Now what I hear, they preach. Praise the Lord. You know, and it's a shame. People enter the ministry for what? Food. Looking for food to eat. So as I stand here, all on a tithe, on a collect. Hey, Jehovah, I for don't get money. See me, I'm still living in a rented house. I never get house for Lagos. I see big church. All of them own their own houses. Why? Enter message preachers. From day one, I said that doctrine is from the pit of hell. Why will one man stand and say all the tithe belong to him? You are a thief. You are a robber. A robber, that is fraud using sermon books. Fraud. William Bryan never talk that nonsense. Never talk that nonsense. William Bryan, who said they are misquoting him to say that the tithe belongs to the pastor. What William Bryan was saying is they should use the tithe to take care of the ministers. He himself, he was pastoring a church and yet he was on allowance. Why didn't he collect the tithe of the people? And then he gathered the people to teach them. You see? And they said, and that they should not disclose how much is coming in as tithe. Because according to him, another preacher today, who is also a king of his village now, but is also an enter message church pastor, but a custodian of the culture of his people. is a king. A king is the custodian of the culture of the people. We are in this world, but not of this world. So you know those who are of this world and in this world now. Church, listen. He said that man advised him that it causes problem. Get this tape and go and give it to that pastor to hear me. Send it to him. Tell him, Pastor Locke is his name. He's a strange fire upon him and he doesn't know it. Nothing like that. You need money. Go and do business. Stop deceiving the people and say you're a pastor when you're a hungry person looking for what to eat. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said that king, pastor king, somebody advised him that if you let other people to know how much is coming in, he said it creates problem. That is why people normally fight in the church. So keep a secret to yourself. And I know that Pastor Enoch also in Lagos, in Port Harcourt, he has one key. His wife has another key. Tight box, if he travel, now the wife go open up, carry the tight and go. Wait for him. The deacons, you can manage the offering, but the tight belong. And you know in Africa, you know how offering are. Somebody will bring 10,000 naira tight, but when it is time for offering, it will drop 100 naira. So you know why they are after tight now. Praise the Lord. Now, that is the reason why, so that people will not share that tight with them. That's why they are the only pastor. They are the only minister. If anybody is coming up, you say, you are Obodachi, you are a minister in training. John, you are a minister in training. All of you, I'm still watching all of you. I'm still watching all of you. To see whether you can qualify to be minister, so that you not go chop the tithe with him. It's a strange fire. Enter message below and it's a shame. It's a shame. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's contrary, it's a strange fire. See, Elijah received an anointing. When he was going, there was somebody that was studying him. When he was going, what became of the one that was following Elisha? Elisha received double portion of the anointing, the spirit that was on Elijah. Jesus Christ said, the works that I do, you will do also, and more. And the followers, the disciples of Jesus Christ, when he gave them that fire, the miracles that they did certainly surpassed what Jesus Christ did within 3 years. Certainly. Why? They studied the Lord Jesus Christ. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples? Indeed, Elisha continued in the ministry of Elijah. But when he came to Elisha, he to pick somebody that will follow him. So that when he leaves, he can also drop the mantle. What is his name? Gehazi. Hallelujah. But while Elisha was concentrating his ministry, Gehazi was looking at what he can get from that ministry. What became of Gehazi? Leprosy. He became leprous. And once you are leprous, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are kept far from people. Far. You become outcast. Hallelujah. Till today, Gehazi had no ministry after Elisha left. Hallelujah. William Abraham also have followers. After he died, where do you see that ministry again on earth? All of them holding sermon books. This is my fight from 1990, since I came across them. And this ministry started in 1998. And from 1990, I knew something was wrong. I kept telling them, this precious message we have, why is there not, you know, attraction? Where is the God of William Branham? Where are the gifts? Where are the power? Where are the discernment? Did he die with it? I used to tell them that something is wrong. Something is wrong somewhere. I said, wake up, I'm going to check up. They try to appease you. Pastor Moses, take it easy. The bright revival is coming. I said, no. The comforter came on the day of Pentecost. He has not withdrawn. The Spirit of God is here. Pentecostal that don't know anything, they are playing with the anointing. You that know something, you are dry as a wood. Nothing. No life. Nothing. No attraction. This is one of the reasons. God cannot bless a private agenda. God cannot bless a private agenda. And let me tell you something, church, as I close, please. Listen, church. This is the last move of God before the rapture. Church, listen. You don't understand. God has nothing again to wait for. This end time message, if you hide under this end time message that God gave us through that man William Branham, and you try to bring any form of denominational coloration on top of it, God himself will frustrate you. God himself will frustrate you. Just leave sermon books alone. And go, ministers that are living. Somebody left here, a prophet who stayed here for more than 10 years, has set up prayer house. He's the message, prayer house. Prayer house. Come and be receiving prayers. Hungry people looking for food to eat. I was talking to another prophet that left here. His name is Samuel. Oh, and they called him. Church, listen. He's my son. Even as he left here, when they have problems, me, they still come and meet. Yes. They are my children. It's true. There are bad children, there are good children. But whatever it is, they are my children. And that's true. That is the truth. That's why they disgrace me up and down. But what can I go do? That's what can I go do? They are still my children. When they have problems, they come. I told him one time on the phone. I said, you are a prophet. A prophet cannot pastor a church. He said, Daddy, I think that thing you say is correct. It's correct. It's correct. And I added, if it is correct, then I'm not telling you to go and employ a pastor. I say, you cannot employ somebody who should be your boss. I say, every other gift in a local church is under a pastor, including you. So don't go and employ a pastor. You'll be bringing strange fire into your ministry. From that time till now, he never called me again. That's the truth. Praise the Lord. A prophet cannot. That is why your ministry, your pastoral ministry didn't work, John. It's God that closed it. You left here to go and start the church. God, close it. But you are my son. When you come back, I said, come back. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he's humble enough to accept it. Say, I agree. He's humble enough. Ah, let's clap our hands now for our God. He's humble enough. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There are two more that left. I told you, I said, write it down. The Lord told me they will come back. And of course, when they come back, I will still accept them. Praise the Lord. But they have left now. They are abusing me up and down. I know the spirit that is upon them. But when they come back, I'll still accept them. Praise the Lord. Now that is the truth. You cannot mess up with this message. And that is the reason why this ministry is different from all of them. And they are wondering why. How come this is different? Last Friday night, we have over 10,000 people that gathered here. Hallelujah. In March, we had almost 20,000 that gathered one night here. And Enter Message Church, in a day they gathered 300. Ha! That's a big pastor. And they don't know why. And it is not only that. You, hallelujah. The Bible says, let them that name the name of the Lord do what? Depart from iniquity. Let them that name the name of the Lord. If you are holding this message, the greatest favor, the greatest gift that God can give to a Christian in this age is to open your eyes to see the entire message. That is the greatest he can do for you. But he said, remember Lord's wife. You came out of the denomination. Leave that fire in the denomination that you carry. Come down and humble yourself. All that Apostle Paul acquired among the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Pharisee religion, all the doctorate degrees that he acquired, what did he say? When he saw the real salvation, he dropped them and counted them as dung for the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same thing too. We come here, the denomination, all they see in Christ is to make money. Make merchandise of the people. Don't come here with that spirit. When I say here, I don't mean brother assembly. The message. Don't handle this message with that spirit. Don't, because God himself will frustrate you. He will kill the ministry. And you will remain in perpetual frustration. It's a strange fire. Don't let the denominational fire catch you. Drop it away. Drop it. Drop it. Some people are fighting. This is my seat. Why are you sitting on my seat? Why are you sitting on my seat? I say, in Bride Assembly Church, this is my seat. In the entire message, this is my seat. Hallelujah. It's a strange fire following that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I may be talking too much, but church, listen. Hallelujah. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the hallelujah, the church of the living God, the company of angels, the general assembly of the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible calls us. Be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Watch and pray. God bless you. May we stand up. There is power mighty in the blood.
Are you suffering from spiritual husband or wife?
There is power.
Are you facing frustration and rejection? Is your spiritual life stagnant? How have you been baptized? Do you know if really your sins are remitted? Join us every Tuesday as we teach on true water baptism.
When Jesus Christ said, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, he is telling you, go and baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Pure water ministration for your healing and deliverance.
We plead the blood of Jesus. Father, let the blood that was shed on the cross on Calvary speak for our healing and deliverance this afternoon in the name of Jesus. We invoke that power that was released on the cross on Calvary into this water for our healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. Use this water and root out every infirmity in the name of Jesus Christ. As you drink this water, life will be restored in the name of Jesus.
One-on-one counseling with the prophet. Join Pastor Moses Alu and other anointed ministers.
By the grace of God upon my life, I, Pastor Moses Alu, I lose you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Shalom.